Amanda, thank you so much for joining us today on Galesburg Live.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on your new practice. You're starting July 1st.
Yes, yes, okay. I am.
Tell us about just what this is.
Yeah. So it's a private practice for psychotherapy for older adults, seniors, and possibly their caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're going to deal with a lot of different, which we'll get into later on today in our time together, but a lot of different issues, emotional and behavioral and right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we just really see a lot of seniors and caregivers struggling with just the process of aging, the process of being a caregiver, the process of, you know, losing things around you, losing your home, losing, you know, your abilities to do things, depression, anxiety, adjustment to all of those things, grief.
Right.
We just see a lot of stuff.
Now, you've been in this industry for quite a while, so you saw a huge need for this in our community.
I have. So I've worked in the community with seniors and caregivers with services, social services, for about 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got my clinical license last February, and I started doing some telehealth with a company out of Chicago just for seniors. And I thought, you know what? We need this in our community.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just know there's a need. And I feel like I have the skill set now, and I just decided I'm going to try this. I'm going to do it on my own.
Right. So, yeah. And you are the first recipient of a special grant here from the city of Galesburg.
Yeah.
Could you talk about that?
Yeah, so that was pretty exciting. So I got a hold of the Chamber of Commerce originally when I had started thinking about my business plan.
Yeah.
And they connected me with Ken Springer over at the KCAP,
I think
is how you
right,
say that.
Right.
Yeah. And he got me in touch with a guy out of WIU to help me with my business plan.
Yeah.
I got that all together, which was a great resource. And then Ken called me and said, we've got this grant coming up and I think you'd be a good person to apply for it. So I did. And so it was $5,000 grant for the startup cost of a minority owned business,
okay.
which I qualified because I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it through the city of Galesburg, and that was really exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
Where are you going to be located?
So I'm over in the Weinberg Arcade,
okay.
64 South Prairie, and I'm in suite 327.
Okay. So. Third floor.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Yep.
And you'll be doing most of your visits on site, right, in your office.
I will. Okay. I really think it's better for therapy to build a therapeutic relationship when you see people, you know, face to face.
Yeah.
And I, you know, seniors, I think it's a good opportunity to get out to.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to do more in person. However, I do have the potential to do telehealth if needed. So
I see.
So that'll be a great resource if somebody really can't get out but really does need this service.
Right.
So,
so talk to me about the you're setting up when you have a therapeutic relationship with
mm-hmm.
someone. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
It is better to be on site for that.
Well, yeah, I think especially for seniors too, because of hearing loss sometimes.
Okay.
Just the idea that you can see facial expressions better, and
sure.
you know, it just is more personal, I think, when you're in person.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, what does it take to start up a business like this? I mean, this is because you've, again, you've been in this industry for a long time, and now to go out on your own,
yeah.
this is quite a,
yeah,
quite a thing.
I'm scared, excited.
Sure.
I knew I had I was confident in my skills, and I was confident in the need.
Of course.
And so I was worried about the cost of starting, and then, you know, Galesburg, the city of Galesburg helped me with that piece, and
yeah.
so it's really all kind of come together. And so I just hope that physicians in the area, family members, people will say, oh, mom or dad needs this, or my patient really needs this, and give me a call and let me help. So
they don't necessarily need a referral from a doctor.
They
can
don't.
Just call you
they can
for
just call.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you are covered Medicare. You
yes.
are certified for Medicare.
Yes, I'm credentialed with Medicare, and eventually I'll get credentialed with some private insurances too. I want to kind of get up and going and kind of get a feel for in our community what insurance companies
mm-hmm.
are out there.
So Medicare and private pay. Right?
Yep.
Okay.
And we are seeing a little bit more push for private pay just because people have a little bit more control over their care plan.
Sure.
A lot of people are frustrated with insurance companies,
yeah.
and so the ability to just decide I want this and I'm going to pay for this
mm-hmm.
Is kind of this new and upgrowing thing.
And Medicare probably has a certain number of visits that they will pay for?
They will pay for an hour session weekly, actually.
Oh, okay.
So it's really quite a bit.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And, you know, you could be maybe see me for 3 months, and maybe you see me for a year. It just kind of depends what the needs are and what we're working on.
When did you start thinking about this?
I started thinking about it probably last July.
Okay. Did COVID have anything to do with this? I mean, senior isolation that we've all heard about.
Yeah, actually. So COVID, there are some good things that came out of COVID. The telehealth piece actually has been really beneficial for our rural area, especially for services, for mental health related services. And so because I started doing that contractual work through that company in Chicago with telehealth, I started, you know, just realizing, man, there's really, because of COVID, there's really a need. People are isolated. People need somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
People are mad, you know, and just coping skills in general aren't real good right now. Yeah. And so that kind of got me thinking, what if I did this in my own community,
absolutely.
And I could do it in person.
So let's talk about, you're from around this area?
Yeah. Okay. So I grew up in Avon. I live in St. Augustine, big old town of Saint-y.
So I still say St. Augustine. Does that make you angry that I say that?
No, it doesn't? No, and I don't know. There's so many different ways to say it.
She says it's not, but her eyelid kind of twitched a little bit when I said St. Augustine, so.
Yeah, I say Saint-y, so I'm safe, I think.
That's right. So. Okay, so how did you get into this?
I got my bachelor's degree in social work at WIU, and I started out in child welfare and just was like, you know, this isn't for me. And I applied for a job at Alternatives for the Older Adult.
Sure.
And I started working with seniors in the community, setting up services and just assessing needs. And oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine working with a different population. Like, I just knew I connect with seniors. I understand them. I love them and I want to help them. And so I did that for 8 years, actually. And then I jumped over to Western Illinois Home Health. I've been there for 10 years. Yeah. And what a great company. And so I got my master's while working at Western Illinois Home Health. And I got my clinical license last year. And so that's kind of where I'm at now.
Yeah.
So.
When you say you connect with seniors, how do you do that? Because some people just can't. They're kind of standoffish. They think, older people.
I know.
My mom worked at a nursing home all my life. So I grew up.
Yeah.
She'd always drag us kids to the nursing home, and I want you to meet this one and this one. So we just got used to being around older people.
Well, and people really need to do that. Yeah. We need to do that with our children. We need to do that more, because you do need to feel comfortable around older people.
Yeah.
Because they need that companionship and that company, and there's so much to learn from older adults.
Yeah.
And that's just how I connect with them. I get to know them. I ask them questions. I want to know about their history, and they want to talk about those things.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right. That's right. And too often we treat them like children.
Yeah.
You know, don't say anything to grandma. I don't want to tell her anything about this.
Yeah.
Anytime my family members would say something like that, no, we're not saying anything to grandma. And I'm like, why? She's been through more than we've ever been through. She can handle it better than we can.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we tend to treat older people like they're children.
We do. And I do a lot of teaching caregivers, like, not to do that.
Yeah.
You know, even kids sometimes. The rules, unfortunately, do reverse a little bit, and the kids become kind of this decision maker. And that's really tough for older adults, too. And a lot of times they're still really capable of making some decisions, and kids kind of swoop in trying to do the right thing, but then they kind of step on the toes. And that's hurtful, too. And so I do try to do a lot of education with caregivers on just better approach and like being sensitive to some of these things. And
What do you think is the biggest need when it comes to senior mental health and what you're trying to do? What do you think is the biggest area that you're hoping to make an impact?
Well, I'm really hoping to help people work through like anxiety and depression and maybe even past trauma. You know, we see there was an era that did not talk about, you know, abuse.
Yeah.
And it was there. And now our culture is a little bit more open, and it's not as stigmatizing to talk about that. And so when I build a therapeutic relationship with people, a lot of times things from their past come out that they've never, ever talked about, you know, and it's important to get that stuff out of your mind, off your chest, and onto somebody else who's neutral, who can listen and help you process some of that, you know? And so I really hope to help seniors who have kind of held onto this traumatic experience all their life. But then also, it's really traumatic being an older adult and experiencing, you know, new health conditions, maybe moving out of their home, those types of things as well, and being able to kind of help them cope with those.
We really want to touch upon the different areas that you're going to be focusing on. And one of the biggest is depression and anxiety in seniors.
Yeah, we see a lot of it, you know, especially anxiety. And it's really odd because a lot of times people have never experienced anxiety. And then all of a sudden they have an anxious experience. And then it kind of creates a spiral effect after that. And so a lot of times it's just really kind of working through like what are the negative thoughts and how do we replace those with positive thoughts? You know, there's a therapy technique, cognitive behavioral therapy, which mm-hmm. is what I use a lot. Also a lot of solution focus where we just really identify what it is creating this anxiety and how do we create some solutions to that.
Does somebody know that they're having anxiety issues? Do you know? First of all, how do you know it personally and how do you recognize it in someone?
Well, that's a great question because actually a lot of times people don't realize it is anxiety and they think they're having a heart attack.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're very short of breath, they've got racing heart, and they go to the ER. And the ER checks them all out and there's nothing wrong, thank goodness. But mm-hmm. then they send them home really feeling like, well, what the heck just happened to me?
Yeah.
You know? And so when we really do a lot of psychoeducation on what anxiety is, what the symptoms are, and how you can self-manage through even like a panic attack, and people start to feel like they can regain control. And so deep breathing, you know, self-talk, the just positive thinking, yeah. you know, knowing that that's what it is and being mindful. And so I really work through a lot of that with seniors.
How are depression and anxiety are very closely linked?
They are closely linked. And I, you know, I think people with depression, they have sadness, you know, they have this lack of motivation, but then they also know oftentimes that they're not functioning the way they used to, and then it creates this anxiety.
Okay, so they know they're getting older, they can't do the things that they used to, and it's starting to...
Yeah. We see a lot of anxiety with early stages dementia, too. And, you know, you're high-functioning early stage dementia, they still are able to live on their own often and they're still able to manage a lot of things, but they know they're forgetting things and that creates a lot of anxiety and and it really does create some depression because it's the worst stage to be in because you know there's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and it's scary. It's scary.
Yeah. And people don't need to have a referral to come see you about this. If you are noticing this in your loved one or if you are starting to feel it yourself and you just feel like there's something not wrong, they should just reach out to you.
Yes. They should just call me and set up an appointment.
Mm-hmm. How can they get in touch with you, Amanda?
Yeah. So they can go to my website. It's therapyforpositiveaging.com. They can call me at 309-351-8584. And then I have an email that's apowell@therapyforpositiveaging.com.
Okay, that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Amanda Powell is a licensed clinical social worker. She is the owner of the new Therapy for Positive Aging, a brand new practice at the Weinberg Arcade.
Yep.
And you're starting to see patients July 1st.
Yes. Okay. And I'm taking appointments now. I'd like to get people
It'd probably be a good idea for you to contact Amanda now because there is such a great need in this community for what you're doing.
Yeah, I hope so because, you know, I know there are a lot of therapists and counselors out there, but I've got a lot of experience with older adults and caregiver services, and so I want to be able to just really help that population.
So. Along with depression, anxiety, a lot of that is caused because of issues with grief that they're dealing with,
right? Yeah, we see a lot of grief, and when we think about grief, we think of loss of a spouse or a death, but it can be a loss of your home because you've moved to an assisted living.
Yeah.
It can be a loss of a family member. Yeah. It can be a loss of a pet. Oh my gosh, our older people have had pets sometimes for so many years, and that was their only companion for a long time during isolation.
Awful.
And now they've lost that pet. So like, it can be a lot of different things that creates grief, you know, loss of independence. So
absolutely. Yeah. So what are things that you do to help folks? Well, like I help through
them,
grief.
I help them. I do help them understand the stages of grief, and then I help them kind of work towards like, what can we start doing maybe to keep your mind busy and to get you active in something that you are able to do now. And I also do some like reframing situations with people too. Like if they've moved and they think it's awful. Maybe I can spin a different perspective on, well, what if you thought about it this way?
Sure.
You know, and just help people kind of start thinking differently about their situation.
Right. Yeah. And you've said this before, and I've picked up on this a few times, positive thinking, reinforce positive instead of just focusing on the negative.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately with aging, there is a lot of negative things, you know, and actually just in our culture right now, there's a lot of negative things, you know, you turn the news on, it's negative, the COVID aftermath, it's all negative. And so it's hard to think positive when everything around you seems very negative.
Right.
But a lot of times just being able to have kind of a conversation and me help people start thinking, what are those positive things? And I even sometimes have them listed out and write it out and carry it in your pocket. And I know that sounds silly, but when those negative thoughts come into your mind, if you pull that out and you read through your positives, it helps you refocus. And you don't have to do the list forever, but it can get your mind kind of retrained that, oh yeah, there are those positive things.
Oh boy. So. We're talking with Amanda Powell. She's the owner of Therapy for Positive Aging. It's a new practice here in Galesburg, starting up July 1st at the Weinberg Arcade. She is taking appointments right now for seniors and for their caregivers, too. And I want to get into this adjustment disorder. We were kind of talking about this, but it's actually a disorder.
It is a disorder. And it just really is about, you know, if some sort of major life change happens and you're just not moving through it, you're just not getting over it. And it's creating like a lot of turmoil in your life because of it. And so it's really just helpful to like talk to a therapist and help kind of work through what is it that's keeping you from being able to move through this, you know?
Well, this leads into the next thing we're going to talk about. We kind of touched upon it in our last segment, is trauma. And seniors, especially because they grew up in a generation that didn't talk about this stuff the way it's talked about now.
Yeah.
And we're talking about pretty serious stuff.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I still hear a lot of stories from seniors of sexual abuse, you know?
Child sexual when they were children.
Yeah,
right.
Or physical abuse, a lot of substance abuse, you know, their parents maybe had an alcohol problem. You know, their parents oftentimes lived in the Depression, and there was a lot of negative things at that time going on, too. And so, you know, they, as children, witnessed and experienced things that they just never got to share.
But we hear this, that, gosh, you know, this kind of stuff didn't happen back then. Yeah. Oh, no, it's very prevalent.
It did.
And hear these people, but you just didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Why didn't you talk about it back then?
Yeah, I mean, people were private about personal stuff back then, you know? And I still think it's good to have healthy boundaries and not overshare with just anybody.
Sure.
But that's why therapy is such a valuable resource, because you're not just sharing it with anybody.
Yeah.
It's confidential, and I'm not emotionally connected in any way because nobody wants to share that necessarily with their daughter, you know, because that creates pain for your daughter. And so just being able to talk to me and knowing it's in a safe spot, but it's not on your shoulders or just in your mind anymore.
That's right. Yeah. And you're right. There's untold numbers of seniors here in our area that are dealing with things like that.
Yeah.
And how do you help someone talk? First of all, how do they take that step to come see you?
Yeah. Well,
after holding on to this for decades.
Yeah. To be honest with you, typically people who have suffered some major trauma oftentimes have anxiety and depression going on, and they see me for that.
Yeah.
And then as I've built a relationship with them, that stuff starts to come out.
Sure.
That's not the first thing they usually schedule an appointment to talk about.
But boy, how do you help people feel comfortable enough to that probably takes time.
Well, I have always felt like that's a skill set that I have.
Yeah.
You know, I connect. I love people, and I do want to help them. And I hope I feel very genuine to them, because I am very genuine about this. And so I hope that they just feel that, and I think they do. And people tend to just tell me stuff,
because people, they really want help. They really want this to work. So when they come and see you, they're really hoping you can help them, even though they're being kind of closed off and sheltered.
Yeah.
They really do want this to work.
Yeah, they do. And that's why I really hope that, you know, people start calling and getting in, because people don't need to suffer.
Yeah.
And I do think that we tend to think, well, it's just part of the aging process, but suffering should not be part of the aging process. And it's not too late, you know, to talk about things. I've heard people say that, well, you know, I'm almost 90 years old. What's the point now? Well, I've seen people who are 105 years old. So yeah. Like, let's make the next, you know, 10 or 12 years like really great, because you deserve it.
Nobody in the healthcare industry had been through what we've just been through over the last 2 or 3 years with COVID. And you mentioned off the mic that, you know, we're still dealing with the aftermath of the emotional and mental impact of what we've been through.
Yes.
Isolation and fear and all that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're still, people lost loved ones to COVID. People are still afraid, you know, so they're still having some isolation in many ways. And then there's obviously this aftermath with the economic situation that kind of is indirectly related to COVID that people are stressed about too. So there's still just as a lot there with COVID.
Yeah. And seniors, what has the isolation, when we talk about isolation, people were alone for weeks and weeks and weeks at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we seniors typically are already isolated,
right.
You know, but at least they had their kids stopping in or grandchildren once in a while, you know. And what we found was then families were too scared to infect grandma or grandpa or mom or dad. And so they cut that off too. So then we ended up with zero visits. And so that was really hard, you know. And, you know, we were making those decisions for seniors too. So I saw lots of older adults that were like, I would rather just see my family and take the risk.
Yeah.
But then families didn't want that guilt in the fact that what if we did that for mom or dad or grandma and then we get them sick. So then they'd still continue to stay away. So there's just a lot, you know, it's kind of deep.
So what has this isolation done to seniors now that we're kind of out of it? What has it done? What are the effects of it?
Well,
what did it do to them?
Well, I do think we're seeing a lot more anxiety, you know, because when people are isolated, you get anxious. You do. When all you see is the four walls around you day in and day out, you get more anxious. You know, you start thinking, you have more time for thoughts.
Yeah.
And thoughts get real negative. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our seniors do a lot of watching TV, a lot of watching CNN all day, you know, and that stuff is scary. It's bad. And so if you're watching that all day, because that's all you have to do, then it's really hard to identify what positive things are really going on out there. Mm-hmm. And all of us got back to the real world, right? And we're all still, we're unmasked now, and we're seeing people's smiles and faces, and life has somewhat went back to normal, thank goodness. But for our seniors who are still homebound in a lot of ways, they may not see how some of the world is still going back to normal.
Right. So what can we do to help them? And obviously, spend time with them.
Spend time with them. Yeah. And then obviously, if people are still suffering or are still trying to cope with some of what they've experienced because of COVID, then it's time to call me.
Yeah, they need to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Because I remember my grandmother said the same thing. I'm 92 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been through a lot. I'd rather see my family than be alone that. So it's a tough thing. We're talking with Amanda Powell. She is the owner of a brand new practice, Therapy for Positive Aging, which you start seeing people on July 1st.
Yes.
And your office is at the Weinberg Arcade. Another part of your service is not just for seniors, but they're caregivers. We talked a little bit about that in the beginning of our conversation today. Could you dip into that a little bit more?
Yeah, I will. So I was hesitant to put an age, specific age, on who I will see because I do want to be able to help, you know, maybe that 40, 50, 60-year-old daughter or son who's providing care or who has had to make some tough decisions for mom or dad and is struggling with that, you know. Caregivers are amazing and so thankful for caregivers, because we keep our seniors in their homes because of caregivers, you know, and that's where people usually want to be.
That's right.
But it takes a lot. It takes a lot of commitment, and it takes a lot of taking away from their own families and their own life. And we have people having to work longer too, and they're working and trying to take care of mom or dad. And so there's a lot that caregivers deal with, and it creates depression and anxiety and stress, just like everything else.
I took care of my mom, dad. I'm the oldest of my siblings, so, and I'm the one that's kind of around here. So I took care of my mom, dad, and my grandmother now. And I made those tough decisions, and the guilt that you have when, you know, now that they're no longer here, you're thinking, gosh, if I would have done it, made a different decision, would they still be here? That's pretty drastic, but I've felt those things before.
And I, you know, I see caregivers too. For one, if you are a caregiver and you are starting to feel frustrated, irritated,
angry,
agitated, angry, you need to schedule an appointment with me, because we need to talk through that, because, you know, those are real feelings, but those are a sign of, you know, that you've got too much going on and you need to talk about it. And maybe because I have done this for so many years, I can help you find some resources too, you know, as well as help you cope better.
That's right.
And so I just think it's really important for caregivers to take care of themselves too.
Yeah.
And I also want caregivers to just know that, like, you may be frustrated that you don't have help from a sibling, or there's nobody else, you know, to do this for mom or dad, but you will be so thankful that you were the caregiver when they're gone, because there's memories happening and time well spent that in the moment you don't really realize, and then you're so thankful for it when they're gone.
So. Well, you definitely need somebody to remind you that, because
you
I can remember there were times when my father had dementia, and I feel myself getting so angry.
Yes.
Why would you say that to me? Yes. Why would you do that?
Yes.
And then I had to step back and go, he really doesn't know what he's saying or doing.
Mm-mm.
And, but it's almost like a kid.
Yeah.
You just, You need someone to remind you that.
You do. And sometimes you need some, like, education on better approaches and, like, just understanding the disease process too. And then you're a little bit more open-minded to, oh, that's why you said
that's
that.
Right. That's
and,
right.
And find some humor in it, you know, too.
Right.
I love working with people with dementia too, just because you can connect with people with dementia too.
Yeah.
And I love teaching caregivers how to do that, because then their moments with them are more meaningful.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Amanda Powell is the owner of the new practice starting here in Galesburg on July 1st, Therapy for Positive Aging. And it's her office is at the Weinberg Arcade, Suite
327.
327. Okay. How can people get in touch with you, Amanda?
Yeah, so they can visit my website, which is therapyforpositiveaging.com. They can email me at apowell@therapyforpositiveaging.com, and they can call 309-351-8584.
Okay,
so,
wonderful.
Yeah.
So we want to kind of go back to our first segment to talk about you don't need a referral to come and see you.
Nope, you don't. I'm taking private pay and Medicare. It's Medicare Part B, so you don't need a doctor's referral. I hope doctors do refer to me or inform you when you're at the office about me, but you can call yourself. You can call, your kid can call, you know, anybody.
And you did say that Medicare pays for an hour a week.
Yeah,
Medicare, of your service.
Medicare will pay for a one-hour session weekly.
Yeah.
And it just kind of depends the length. That you and I will determine that together, what's needed. But I've seen people on 3 months. I've seen people on for a year. Just kind of depends what we're working on.
Yeah. So it's not something that you just sign up for, and you depending on each situation, right?
Yeah,
I
develop a treatment plan and help. And with Medicare, you know, we do identify a diagnosis, and so typically that's depression or anxiety adjustment disorder, like I've talked about. But we'll work through that together and then come up with the treatment plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So someone listening that is, you know, they're obviously going through some of the things that we're talking about, but there's still that stigma, you know. I don't know. I'm kind of nervous about reaching out for help because, you know, I can make it through this. I'll be fine.
Yeah. Our older adults especially.
They do,
tough cookies to crack.
That's right.
But give me a chance. Give me a chance, because I think you'll feel comfortable and I think I can help. And who doesn't want to feel better?
That's right. Amanda, congratulations on your new practice.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck to
Thank
you.
You.
And
Thank you.
Looking forward to talking to you again in the future here. All right.
Thanks so much.